Welcome to NACSW's Podcast of the Month. Our podcast program makes available recordings of a wide variety of NACSW presentations and discussions on topics of particular interest to Christians in social work. Our Podcast of the Month program features a new podcast every 30 days for your listening pleasure. We hope you enjoy today's podcast.
Earlier today, I spoke to my 20-year-old, don't look at the grade, okay? And I said to her, I want you to always remember the heroes and the sheroes. We have a shero in the house with us tonight. It's awesome that she is here because of the work that she has done over the 30-plus years, the last 15, following in the steps of her father, Hosea Williams. So I'm going to give you some information about Elizabeth Williams Omiwalami and share with you why she is a hero and a shero. She's an activist, an actress, a playwright, a director, a wife, a mother, a confidant. She's all of that. And yet she maintains an organization that has served so many in the Atlanta area. I have been part of the Atlanta area for 30 years. And I'm telling you, in terms of the work that Hosea Williams Feed the Hungry is doing, it's a tribute not only to her. I had mentioned to her a minute ago, I remember her mother, Juanita. And for those of you in the room that remember Juanita Williams, who was a state representative and an activist in her own right, she passed the torch. She passed the torch to her. As with her father having founded the organization, she has worked alongside her father at least the last 15 years of his life. So it is not by accident that she became the head of the organization as the CEO and executive director. The mission of Hosea Williams Feed the Hungry and Homeless is to restore, recruit, and re-stabilize at-risk and homeless families and individuals. For those of us in the Atlanta area, we know her work at Easter, Thanksgiving, Christmas, all year. And I'm sure she'll even tell you about there are times when she's had too many volunteers in terms of people that want to step forward to do the work that they do. She also has served over that period of time, hear this, 50,000 individuals and families. Let's give her a hand for that. 50,000. And the Georgia State Senate has rated that organization one of the top charities in Georgia, particularly as related to Hurricane Katrina. And we had a number of individuals that came through and they went through that organization. And she provided services for at least 6,000 of them. Yes. She's a graduate of Hampton University. Hampton Culture House. She holds a Bachelor of Arts degree in theater. And for those that don't recognize her, watch some of the Tyler Perry movies. I'll Fly Away, which is acclaimed on PBS and regular theater, as well as In the Heat of the Night. How many remember it in the Heat of the Night? She was in that. So she's an accomplished actress, actor. She has two children, Howardelli and her mother's namesake, Juanita. She is a member of the Abundant of Life Church in Lithonia, where she graciously serves. And I want NACSW to give her a rousing hand as she comes forward to deliver a message to us today. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Now everybody stand up. All right. Shake, shake, shake. Get ready, get ready, get ready, because we are going on a journey of sorts, a short one. And listen, I don't speak to folk that don't talk back. So, Arkansas, North Carolina, Virginia, Chicago, wherever you're from, say, preacher sister.
Preacher sister.
Tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
Right on.
Right on.
Set the record straight.
Set the record straight.
All right, y'all about ready now. Sit down. All right, y'all about ready. Y'all about ready. It is such, come on now, that's a little good one. I like that one.
Say it plain.
All right, all right. We got some brothers and sisters in the Lord in this place. Y'all were so quiet a few minutes ago, I thought I was with the Frozen Chosen. I said, these folks got to make some noise. I worried over this speech for over a year. I want to bring you welcome from Jose Feed the Hungry and Homeless and the over 30,000 homeless people in Atlanta, Georgia. My husband is right now over at Peachtree and Pine Street Shelter preaching. So he told me, he said, I'm going to the least and the downtrodden. You going over there with your highfalutin folk. I said, well, you tell them downtrodden to give some time and give them their donation. Yashay. So he's over there, and he goes over there once a month, and I can't tell you what it has done for him in his ministry to preach to the homeless, because they receive and they are so hungry for the word. They have nothing else. They're not thinking about, is their DVR working, or is their cell phone going to go off, or are there kids on the iPad, or what's happening at my house, or they're just listening. They're just empty slates, and they are very receptive, and they are a wonderful group of people to minister to. The Lord said the poor will always be with us, but the reason he said that is because he knew that us that weren't poor weren't going to do what we were supposed to do. Not because poor folks always going to be there. He knew us. And my mama granny just came in. Miriam Ledesma, stand up and let everybody see you. And you've seen my lovely assistant, Amelia Cartier, going back and forth, and Johnny Muhammad is here as my escort as well. Give Johnny a hand. I told him he can hang around me all the time. He don't hear nothing but Jesus. After a while, then he gonna be like, you know, I just got a better understanding of Jesus. So I let him take me everywhere. I was telling someone, my sister, Dr. Barbara Emerson, has a degree in social work and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know how to say all that it is, but she said, the National Association of Social Work paid for my PhD and all my tuition and everything, and so you're speaking for them? I said, you know, I haven't looked at the paperwork in a while. I said, yeah. She said, you know, you want to do your case study and then your abstract, and then, you know, that's what they're used to. And then if you talk to them that way, they'll understand what you're saying. She said, so what is your title? So I hadn't looked at the paperwork in a couple of months. So, you know, my sister is not exactly a Christian. She is, but she doesn't know it. So I looked at the title and it said, what is true religion? And I was like, I done got in trouble for preaching that before. So I didn't want to tell her that was the title. Because, you know, we don't want to offend. Because we have to, you know, be nice. So So she said, okay, well, what is your abstract? So say, I'll read it to you. So I said, the abstract says, and so we believe that every individual is a person of worth with basic human rights and with essential human responsibilities, but we also believe that God works through the Holy Spirit. So she was like, huh? I was like, so how do we take our secular freedom and our spiritual freedom and combine them through the Holy Spirit to serve the people who come to us who so often have lost touch with their faith and their hope and their God? She was like, that was awkward. So I said, wait a minute. And I looked and I looked at the thing and I said, oh my goodness, they're Christians. Hallelujah. Cab County school system, because they kept asking me to come and speak, and I didn't know you weren't supposed to bring your Bible. So I kept showing up with my Bible, and one day I messed around and said, God didn't make Adam. Ooh, he didn't make no Adam and Steve. Honey, I have not spoken to the Cab County school system in 10 years. And so I just, you know, I got to the point where I couldn't speak without preaching. Because somewhere in the last 15 or 20 years, God turned me into a preacher and I didn't know it. So then I start preaching and then people would keep asking me to come and speak because they didn't know I was a preacher. And so it just got confusing. So I'm just glad to be here tonight. Woo! Glory. So let's just do what we always must do. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you so much for this gathering tonight. When you bring your people together, we know you are in the midst of them. And you are in the midst of us tonight, oh God. And we've already felt your spirit through the dance and your spirit through the previous speakers. And I just ask you, Lord, to just not let me be here, but Christ, let you be standing here. And you say the things you want to say through me, regardless of what I've written on the paper. Use me tonight, oh God, to just speak a word to your people of encouragement, of information, of revelation, of knowledge, that we can go back out into the battlefield, oh God, that they can have this conference blessed from head to toe, Father, because you know the days that we are in. These days are like unlike any other days. And you've given me something to say tonight, so let me just say it and bless everyone here and keep their homes and families while they are away, traveling mercies as they leave. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, I will tell you also that I am not going to be the statistics person tonight. You know, you guys do that. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you about the percentage of people that eat bananas with their oatmeal. You know, I'm just not going to do it. You are the professionals. You have the statistics. But what I'm going to talk to you about, and I hope you like sort of the title that I have tonight for those of you that need titles, is called Jesus the Social Worker.
Amen.
Woo! Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus the Social Worker. I do know that I was asked and said my topic would be what is true real religion, and that is a subject which has to be explored, but there's been many changes in my life since I submitted that proposal. I mean, all that has happened in that timeline of our lives on this planet for the last 2 years, you are not the same person you were 2 years ago. And neither is the practice of social work the same thing it was 2 years ago. And as the world changes, we have to change with it to meet the ever-increasing new unique demands of our clients. We don't call them clients at Jose Feed the Hungry, we call them guests. And that is what is very unique about Jose Feed the Hungry, is that even though we are a human service organization, we're all one family. And I can remember when I received the anointing to serve the poor, I was at a 6 a.m. prayer service called Morning Glory, and we did that for several months. And the preacher said, we want those that are called to serve the poor to step forward. And I stepped forward. And when I stepped forward and he touched me, and this is the only time this has happened to me, the electricity came from the end of his fingers into my forehead. And even though it was a concrete floor, down I went. And I remember my first lady saying, I don't care what happened, I ain't going down. Yet she said that. But it was like, yeah. I was like, what the? No carpet in here. And then, because this was a church, can we say amen?
Amen.
The church folk would sit on this side and the homeless people were sitting on that side.
No.
Yeah, they were.
No.
So I looked after that experience and it was like something was just like pulling me. And I can remember walking towards the homeless side and walking, and it was like I walked through some kind of veil or something. It's like a tangible something was there. And I walked and I sat down next to this homeless guy and I said, hi. He said, hey, how you doing? And I'm fine, how you doing? And that was it. It's been my calling, my driving force ever since then. It hasn't always been easy because some mornings I wake up and I'm the old Elizabeth. That Elizabeth did not want to be bothered with no po' folks. And it wasn't a negative thing. It was just that I was very self-centered because I had just sit around all day and think about myself. That is not good for you. You cannot sit around all day and think about yourself and your problems. Or you will end up with bad dreams. And you won't never help nobody. So I had to stop that. So, you know, evil has shifted and taken different shapes and forms to confuse us, to shock us, and get us off our game. What do we do? Why are we here? We are the called out ones, and we have a great big target on our back. And you best to be sure that if you call yourself a Christian social worker, that you are telling the truth. Because if you say you are a black belt and put on a black belt and get out there and you're not really a black belt, you're going to get your butt kicked. And I am telling you, you better know what you're talking about when you tell that devil you're a Christian, because he's going to try you and try you and try you. And today he's going to try you beyond what you ever thought you could take or imagine. He's going to try your children and try your house, try your finances and try your family. So you better understand that this is not no pity pat religion no more. This is warfare. I'm here tonight to talk to those who are thinking about giving up. I'm here tonight to talk to those who are not going to give up but get frustrated and just plain upset sometimes. I am here for those working in the garden of the Lord that sometimes feel the silence when his voice cannot be heard. For those who must praise him in the storm that they are in right now. I won't be long because I want time for questions and answers. But I'm going to use the ministry of Jose Feed the Hungry as a case study for tonight's reflections and the ways that Jesus, the social worker, is seen in Jose Feed the Hungry, and perhaps end with the summary of those things I believe I must focus on in these days. Whether they be the last days or not, I do not know. But what I do know is there is a storm coming. That winter is coming. And not just for the planet, but for you and the people that you serve, that it is not going to get easier for them. There is not a Congress full of Christians sitting up there just waiting to pass laws to help y'all. Now you know that that's the truth. I don't care whether you're Republican, Democrat, Tea Party, Coffee Party, come on down to the Alley Party. The policies of this country are getting colder and harder for the working poor and the homeless. And it is evidenced right here in the city of Atlanta. Now, if you're downstairs, downtown, and you're homeless and you ask for a dollar, they can lock you up for a week.
No.
Suppose you have a job and now you have a record and you can get back to your job, you are fired. They passed that policy last year. If you go to the city of Los Angeles, they've taken all the homeless and they put them in this one section of town down by where the fabric center is. Garment district. And if you're found anywhere else in LA, it has to be it has to be sanitized. In the last 5 years here in the city of Atlanta, they closed every single public housing project that there was. There is no more public housing in the city of Atlanta.
That's wrong.
They closed them all. And then they were cited by HUD because they didn't know where the people went. You know where they went? They went into holes and caverns and back alleys. They went into extended stay hotels, which now is the most popular business in the city because they're living in the hotel with their five children in one room and a hot plate.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's
right. This is not going to get easier. So if you think you are burned out and you think you need to quit, then go ahead and quit, honey, because we need strong folk in the battlefield. We need strong folk in them offices. But if you think that you are willing for God to stretch you and use you, regardless of what you feel your weaknesses are, He will take away those weaknesses. He will stand you up straight. And next thing you know, you'll be standing up here speaking before a group of people saying stuff you never thought you would ever say.
Come on now.
God will do it for you. He will do it for you. He will solve your problems. He will tell you how to get Mr. Harry off drugs. He will tell you how to get that little girl sitting in front of you to tell you she's been abused. And you know something's wrong with her and she won't talk. He will tell you how to get that family that you just can't seem to get right holy.
My gosh.
But you can't do it without Jesus, the social worker.
Amen. Ooh, amen. You preach it.
A storm of people who are not poor in the physical but who are poor in the spiritual is also out there.
Yes, it is.
Crazy rich people are dangerous. Because they have the money to act out their thoughts and their desires on us and our children. They need to get saved just like poor folks do. Some of y'all know some rich people. You think they don't need Jesus because they rich? They are more dangerous than poor folk without Jesus. You look at Hollywood and the images that are coming through the film industry, and that is one of my hearts. That is my heart, the film industry, because nothing is more powerful than a good movie with the right message. But what we are getting now, and people are taking their children to see movies with blood and guts and stabbing and killing and all kinds of perverted sexual matters and just stuff that's going to dredge up the devil in you. And they're sitting in there with their children and in the internet. We need the Jesus net. That's what we need. There's a storm a-coming. A storm of people who are shooting in our schools, selling and trafficking our children. A storm that will not, and I say again, will not grow stronger will indeed come at you because we're calling ourselves leaders and workers. And that past modalities and theories used in social work will no longer be useful because the game has changed. Due to several things. Technology is one of them. Now, I can't even get my husband to use a computer. Really. I'm telling you the truth. He won't. And he's a beautiful, he's my BlackBerry. I love him.
That's
But I can't get him, you know, we got to get with this technology thing. This technology is growing so fast. Our children are going to have watches where we can't even track the fact that they're talking to some weirdo at 3 o'clock in the morning that's telling them a bunch of junk and his face is on their watch. Technology is changing the game. I want to, and there are changes in the way that the church functions today. You know, they have this new reality show, what's called, by some pastors. What is it called?
Preachers of L.A.
I'm not kidding. Y'all need to watch some of that junk on TV so y'all to know what y'all children thinking about. What the enemy is doing. But the church today is not the Acts 1:1 church. And I'm not here to criticize the church, because the church is the body of Christ. But we must be able to accept the fact that it's our responsibility to take care of the widows and the orphans, not the government. So I was going to give you this brief history of Jose Feed the Hungry. Who's my timekeeper? You ready? I got how many minutes I got? How many minutes I got left? 9 minutes left? Oh, Lord Jesus. All right. We know that the Bible tells us that real religion, y'all know what that is. I go to James. Anyone who sets himself up as religious by talking a good game is self-deceived. This kind of religion is hot air and only hot air. Real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this: reach out to the homeless and the loveless in their plight and guard against corruption in this godless world. There was a time when I didn't think Jesus should be a social worker in my ministry. We had social workers, and it was and was not politically correct for me to require them to let Jesus into their work. They have been trained, after all, and have all kinds of degrees that teach them the various kinds of ways to do the great work that they do. According to the Arizona School of Social Work, social work is a profession dedicated to enhancing the human capacity to solve complex social problems. Blah, blah, blah. I only have 9 minutes. Look it up. All right, now, y'all know what social workers do. It's a whole paragraph here, and I ain't gonna read it. But despite our current economic predictors, all indicators predict a sharp increase in the demand for social workers over the next decade. Now is an excellent time to pursue a degree in social work. Can we agree?
Yeah.
So let's look at Jose Feed the Hungry. We start with feeding people. And God said in Genesis, I've given you every sort of seed-bearing plant on earth and every kind of fruit-bearing tree, given to them to you for food. All animals and all birds, everything that moves and breathes, I give whatever grows out of the ground for food. We feed some 61,000 people a year. And we added fresh fruits and veggies and a nutrition program to supplement the fact that if our folks don't stay healthy, they will die. That's it. We have a free medical clinic. I have seen people die in the last 2 years just because they were poor. Well, we can talk about that later, but we found that without Jesus, the social worker coming by, the food we were serving on dirty plates. Because even as they ate, they ached. Even as they ate, they hungered inside with a void that food could not fill. They hungered and they spoke out to us for more food and more food. But even those who were hustling the system, and yes, there are always those that do, they needed more, and they saw that more in us. And they wanted that. So when they came to us for food, they lingered and waited, because even though they had eaten, they were still hungry and thirsty. But then the social worker came, Jesus came by, just like he came to the woman at the well. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you a Jew and I'm a Samaritan, but you are white and I'm black, but you are Asian and I'm Caucasian. But you are Christian and I'm a Muslim. But you are from Iran and I'm from Atlanta. How can you ask me for a drink? And Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God, who it is that asked you for a drink, you would never have asked him. And he would have given you living water. Sir, The woman said, you don't have nothing to draw with, and this well is deep. Where are you going to get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming back to you to draw water. He said, go call your husband and come back. Now that's social work starting up. That's social work starting up right there. But before he could get to the social work, he had to let her know there was something she needed before she got to the check, before she got to DFACS, before she got to tanning, before she got to the modality and the theoretical analysis of her individual problem. She needed Jesus, the social worker. Next, at Jose Feed the Hungry, we provide housing for about 200 families a year. They could be homeless, they could be working poor. Right now, the reports say that the median income has gone down. But what's gone up? The fair market rent has gone up. Food has gone up. Rice has gone up globally, not just in the United States. Everything is going up around them, but their income is staying the same. So how are they expected to meet their expenses without a Jose Feed the Hungry stepping in and meeting their basic needs so they have cash left over at the end of the month to be somebody, to be a standing citizen, so their children can have food? I don't care how much money Bill Gates puts in their computers and bricks and mortar, if hungry children cannot learn. And they don't understand that. You can't tell me that no child gets left behind when one child is sitting there hungry and hadn't eaten from free lunch on Friday to free lunch on Monday, and the other child is sitting there with a lunchbox full of all kind of sandwiches and all kind of fruits and vegetables, and those two children are supposed to excel the same. One now they got a pencil, the other one got a laptop and an iPad and a telephone and a protractor and everything else. But we don't want to go into the homes of the people that we serve. We can't take the time because we're already overworked, already overpaid. But I'm telling you, God is going to stretch you beyond your limits. And you are going to have to visit the homes of the people that you serve. Oh, you're quiet now. Yeah, y'all done got quiet on me.
Why are you telling the truth, sister?
Mm-hmm. So we provide housing and, you know, but without Jesus, the social worker, the homes don't become homes, but just places to be.
Right.
What a beautiful home, God of the angel armies. I've always longed to live in a place like this, always dreamed of a room in your house where I could sing for joy to God alive. And then there's John 15, 9, 10, 1 Corinthians 11, 33 to 34. Read it when you get home. I got 5 minutes. So my friends, when you come together to the Lord's table, be reverent and courteous with one another. If you're so hungry you can't wait to be served, go home and get a sandwich, but by no means risk turning this meal into an eating and drinking binge or a family squabble. Do you know that a 3-month-old baby, if she lives or he lives in the house of a parent and another parent, or friends of one parent who argue and there's stress in the home and strife and confusion, that the very neurons of that child's brain changes so that when they grow up, they cannot handle anger, they do not know how to socialize, they cannot handle their own emotions, and they're on the track to prison before they're even 4 months old. That's why you got to know what's going on in that house. You can't just see them in that office and think that's enough. It's not. It's not. There. Now. That's Jesus, the social worker. After the home has been filled with the peace of Christ, we must visit the homes. We must pray the peace of Christ to those homes, or they become barriers to safety for our women and our children. And we provide a lot of other services, right? You can go to fourjose.org and read all about it. I thank God for it because we're not sexy. You know, the ballet. They want to give the money to the ballet, to the opera, to the rabbits. Ain't that right, Mrs. Desmond?
That's right.
one time she had a fundraising table next to some doggone rabbits. They took all that money that day. Them darn rabbits, and they were so cute and cuddly. I was like, mm-hmm, stoop. That money to feed these hungry folks. Now, we also have a medical clinic. Now, Jesus, a social worker. You know the most dangerous place to be is in the ER.
Yep. Wow.
Is in the ICU. Now, the doctor told me that. I said, well, he works in the ICU. I said, well, ooh, you must be so happy because you work in the ICU. You don't have to worry about it. He said, honey, the most dangerous place to be is in the ICU. But why would we have a medical clinic giving people all kind of strange medication? Half those folks y'all see behind, y'all don't even know it, because they own some progesterone. And they high, and they just functioning. And these psychotic drugs they're giving people for depression and anti-anxiety and all the rest of this very sophisticated mind-altering drugs. We have to grow to the point where we get to know what are you taking and what is it doing to you while you can't get a job. And it's not their fault. They're just doing what the doctors say, but they see a different doctor every time they go. And then they wait 16 hours to get to see that one. So we must walk in the feet of the people that we serve. We must get out of the office and go sit in the shelter. We must walk behind the foot of Jesus. And the Caius was hanging from the tree and he said, Lord, help me. And they said, shut up, stop making all that noise. It's Jesus. He a PIP, you embarrassing the neighborhood. Lord, save me. Would you please somebody shut him up? Jesus, don't worry about him, he crazy. Who did Jesus end up having dinner with that night?
Zacchaeus.
Because he was hollering. But if we ain't out there with them, we don't hear their cry. We don't know what they're hollering for. Because your books told you they need X, Y, Z, Y, Z, and A. That doesn't mean that they need that. You have to find out what they need through the revelation of the Holy Ghost, because you have walked in their shoes and you know where they came from. So just like Jose, we do case management and not therapy, but benefiting, increasing the benefits to people. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not, what?
On your own understanding.
Need I say more? Jesus, a social worker. You ain't got that much understanding. I don't care you think you all that because you got 51 letters after your name. You ain't all that. You need Jesus. You need his revelation about those people that you are serving. Because they're going through some stuff you ain't never seen before. Quiet, secret, wicked, twisted, sinful stuff. That the devil is putting on poor people because and rich people, people who are vulnerable because they are not covered by prayer. St. Mother Teresa said the greatest disease in this world is loneliness and hopelessness. Y'all have to come together. Y'all can't just work all day and just go home. Y'all won't be having bad dreams. Amen. I keep talking about bad dreams because I had a bad dream last night. We got a fellowship. You got to hold on to each other. You got to talk to each other. You got to call each other. You got to take the time to befriend each other. You got to know each other. You got to help each other because you are all there is and there is no more. So the devil will pick you off one by one if you stay isolated and separated from the congregation of the body of Christ. We are not alone. Together we must drop all edifices of prejudice, competition, gossip, lust, all and anything that keeps us from being intimate with each other, because we need each other. Don't be afraid of that word intimate. Don't you know that when you play with someone, that is a very intimate moment? Sharing your spirit with another, although in this world we are all so ultimately alone on purpose. So we make no man God, But there's a place that only God can fill. And I'll end. All right. 2 minutes. One, two. 2 Chronicles 24:10 says, "The people and their leaders were glad to do it and cheerfully brought their money until the chest was full." Just because you don't make enough doesn't mean that you don't have to give.
That's right. Yeah.
Y'all got to give.
Yeah.
I don't care where you give. I ain't telling you to give to any denomination, any particular church, but that money has got to come out of your pocket to go to help somebody. And none of us make enough, but give out of your lack, and your well will never run dry. You will have basins and basins and basins full of oil and oil and oil. You will be like them virgins that ran out of cooking grease. If y'all ain't Bible readers, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Just ask the pastor and get on. You need oil. You need anointing. You need power to fight the enemy today. Psalm 2:1-6. Why the big noise, nations? Why the mean plots, people? Earth leaders push for position. Demagogues and delegates meet with summit talks. The God deniers, the Messiah defiers. Let's get free of God, cast loose from Messiah. Heaven throne God breaks out laughing. At first he's amused at their presumption. Then he gets good and angry. Furiously he shuts them up. Don't you know there's a king in Zion? A coronation banquet is spread for him on the holy summit. There's a king in Zion. He rules and reigns on a throne every single day. He never sleeps.
Amen.
But if we try to do this work with that past pity pat, go to church on Sunday Christianity, we will lose.
That's right.
You got to go after him like a badger. You need badger medicine.
My God.
Today,
come on now.
You got to pray in the morning and noon and night. One thing I like about them Muslims, they pray 5 times a day. Some of us can't get on our knees once a week and we think we done something good for God. This is a different day, y'all. This is a different time. And it calls for warriors that are shed about with the armor of God, that have been on their knees and praying for the people that they serve. So I leave you with this. Stay fixed. Stay focused. Stay faithful. And before you go to work, have a staff meeting with Jesus, the social worker.
Thank you for joining us today for NACSW's Podcast of the Month featured selection. We hope you found today's session useful and that it will support your efforts to thoughtfully integrate Christian faith and social work practice. We also hope that you will consider participating in additional NACSW's activities and events, including NACSW's upcoming convention in the fall, our quarterly audio conference workshops that we offer at no cost to NACSW members and which includes free CEUs accredited by the Association of Social Work Boards, our online continuing education program, and access to dozens of archived podcasts from the members section of our website. Also, we invite you to join NACSW's Facebook group or our Facebook fan page. For additional information about these and other NACSW benefits and services, you can go to our website at www.nacsw.org. Thanks again for listening in today to our podcast session today.